You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Right now, we had to reintroduce ourselves, and for security reasons, we had to take a picture of his driver's license to make sure it was him. Good morning, Dr. History. How
Good
are
morning,
you?
Good morning, Zeb. Good to be back. Oh, good to be back out here.
I'm glad to be back, but I got to tell you, it was hard to leave those 70-plus and 80-degrees temperatures.
Yeah, I know, but I felt sorry for you.
Listen, good reports. I was talking to a lady down in the Wickenburg area that has known us for a long time, listens faithfully every Tuesday on the internet to Dr. History.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
She said, "Is he a big guy?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, he stands about 6'7" and weighs about 246, something like that.
Now, did you tell him the truth?
Yeah, I said he's just a midget.
I'm not very big, okay. But I'm quick.
Oh, yeah. It's like me. I really amaze people as to how slow I really am.
Yeah. Okay, Zeb, you're going to know this guy.
Oh, really?
Yes, you're going to know him. So here's the picture.
Oh.
Okay? The chase was on.
The chase was on.
Bill Pickett gave the steer a head start before kicking his spurs into his horse's flank. Then it was fair game as he and his horse chased this beast around the rodeo's arena. As soon as Pickett came alongside the steer, he jumped off his horse, catapulted through the air. As he somersaulted over the length of the steer's back, he grabbed its horns with his hands, mustered every ounce of strength he had to hold on. Next, he dug his heels into the ground, twisted the horn so hard that the animal's head jerked it toward him. Pickett's face was now directly in front of the steer's nose. A bewildered audience watched in disbelief as Bill Pickett sunk his teeth into the snotty upper lip of the bull.
You had to put all the words in, didn't you?
I'm not leaving anything out. He bit down hard on that steer's sensitive upper lip, holding it in a vice-like grip while at the same time throwing his arms in the air.
There you go.
I've got a picture of that, Zeb.
Yep. I bet you it's the same one I've got in my books upstairs in the attic. He's trying to find the picture to show me for those of you at home.
Well, it's in here somewhere.
And he's getting nervous, and the papers are dog-eared.
There it is.
Yeah, that's exactly the one I've got.
That's the picture you've got.
That's the one I've got.
Well, the fight was not over. Pickett used his using his strong jaw and neck muscles. He pulled the steer closer and fell over backward. The motion unbalanced the steer, which was still lip-locked to Pickett. The bull flipped over and came crashing down to the ground with a sudden thud. Completely subdued, the steer was frozen in place with all four legs pointing up in the air.
Yeah, and then he went over and kissed the rodeo queen.
I don't think so. Pickett held his lip grip continued to triumphantly raise his arms in the air to prove the act was performed hands-free and to demonstrate he had total control over that animal.
There you go.
And stunned by the fall, this animal looked at Pickett eye to eye and desperately wanted to fling Pickett through the air, but he wasn't going anywhere. Well, the crowd that had been silenced in disbelief, they erupted with a roar of applause and cheers. The spellbound audience had come to the rodeo doubting that this tall tale that a cowboy could throw a steer with his teeth. Yet they just witnessed the great Bill Pickett in action, performing his version of steer wrestling. After a cowhand roped the steer, Pickett rose, wiped his mouth on the sleeve of his shirt, thank goodness, dusted off his chaps, and took a bow. His rodeo act of, lip-locking the steer was called bulldogging. and he was the master.
Was this, well, and can you turn that mic, straighten it up a little bit. There you go. No, you don't have to knock it over. Was this while he was performing with the 101 Wild West
show? We're going to get to that.
Ah, yeah, I see.
So he was born December 5th, 1870, 30 miles northwest of Austin, Texas. His skin was black, but he was of African, Native American, and Caucasian descent.
Mm.
But he never knew slavery as his parents had. His parents, Virginia and Thomas, had 13 children, 5 boys and 8 girls.
13.
Bill was the second oldest, but he loved growing up on a ranch around horses. His schooling only went through the fifth grade, and then his education continued what we'd call cowboy style.
I see.
And at the age of 15, Bill worked as a cowhand on an area ranch, and he mastered the skills all cowboys needed, you know, how to rope, how to work cattle, one thing or another. But he continued to work on Texan ranches during the 1880s and 90s, learning how to break wild horses. Now, he weighed only about 145 pounds.
That's what I thought. He wasn't a very big man.
No, he stood about 5 feet 7 inches tall.
Yeah.
You know, he appeared kind of slight, but he was actually very muscular and very strong, you know, quite a bit like me.
Yeah. Great similarity.
Maybe the weight and the height, but that's about it. You know, as a child, Bill had seen bulldogs chase after stubborn cattle that got tangled in the underbrush.
Huh.
Now, bulldogs had been used to work cattle since the 1700s. Their short legs and sleek coat allowed them to easily burrow under the thickets to force animals out into the clearing. Now, Bill noticed that a stubborn cow didn't stand a chance when a bulldog sank its pointed teeth into its lip.
Ouch.
And used his powerful neck to literally drag the cow back to the herd.
Holy smokes.
That gave Pickett the idea.
How'd you like to be an intruder in that guy's home?
Oh, yeah. But that he thought he could do that with an animal in the same way. That's where he got the idea. So he adapted the idea to steer wrestling, and in time he perfected his technique of hitting the sensitive nerve in a steer's lip or his nose. And one of Bill's younger brothers reported that Bill perfected his technique by practicing bulldogging out in the family pasture in the moonlight.
He never really socially dated a lot of girls,
probably,
did he?
Well, I'm going to get to that too, Zeb. I'll get to that. You know, there's various accounts between 1886 and 1903 of how Bill Pickett came to subdue animals with his teeth. Residents in Rockdale, Texas claim Pickett was helping load longhorn cattle onto a stock car when a stubborn steer escaped. Bill's patience was tried, so he chased after it. He jumped onto the steer's back. He twisted his horns and bit firmly into the steer's upper lip, bringing the runaway to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
Others claim the event happened in Taylor or Austin, Texas. Another account says that Pickett passed a cattle company's branding pin on the way home from school. He offered to help by holding the calf down and bit the animal's lip, which held it securely frozen in place during the branding.
Really?
Another version. A fellow rodeo star recalled Pickett going after a cow that had nearly gored his horse. He claimed Bill was mad with the animal. He threw it down by biting into its lip. Regardless of how or when the new method came, Bill Pickett became the expert. He was he could do it. So he left his home in Texas in 1886 when he was about 16 years old, traveled to Nashville, Tennessee to join a Wild West show. That's what you referred to.
The 101, yeah.
Yeah, back in Texas in 1890, 20-year-old Bill married his sweetheart, Maggie, in the Taylor Baptist Church where he served as a deacon. To support his growing family, he and 4 brothers decided to start their own horse-breaking business sometime in the 1890s, and they most likely were the first black entrepreneurs in Taylor, Texas. Bill was vice president, and their successful Pickett Brothers Bronco Busters and Rough Riders Association. That was the name of their,
really?
Their company, yeah.
Now, do you have a picture of him and his bride?
I do not. I don't.
I wonder if she must have felt some trepidation when they kissed at the wedding day.
That could have been a make or break deal, don't you think?
Lip lock.
Yeah. So anyway, this partnership advertised, quote, "We ride and break all wild horses with much care, good treatment to all animals, perfect satisfaction guaranteed. Catching and taming wild cattle a specialty. So
really?
that's their business.
Really?
Well, Pickett was an all-around hand, a roper, bronc buster. His additional skill of bulldogging made him sought after. County fairs and rodeos were always looking for tricks and stunts to draw in the crowds, you know. So Pickett became kind of a celebrity throughout the West. In 1903, he bulldogged for captivated audiences in rodeos throughout Texas, Arizona, Wyoming, Oklahoma. And there was a promoter named Dave McClure, mm-hmm. and he asked him to join his Booger Red's Wild West Wagon Show.
Wow, say that fast five times.
That. So in 1904, Bill Pickett was the star attraction at America's best-known rodeo, the Cheyenne Frontier Days.
How old a man was he at this time?
By now he's into his 20s.
Oh, only?
Yeah,
I
not very old. But this
there we go. 1,000 programs, and he still leaves his cell phone on.
And I turned that off, Zeb. I really did. Okay, back. Here we go. 1904, Bill Pickett was the star attraction at the Cheyenne Frontier Days, the equivalent of today's Super Bowl.
Right.
That was the big one.
Right.
And his performance received national attention. The media, both newspaper and radio, came from all over to cover what they called, quote, the Dusky Demon of Oklahoma.
Of Oklahoma.
But everybody agreed his performance were spectacular.
Wow.
Now, Bill Pickett was considered a professional and thereafter banned from competing in amateur rodeo contests. The Miller's Wild West Show offered him the perfect venue to showcase his bulldogging style, and, of course, the audiences ate it up. At rodeos, Bill had to earn prize money, but in the Miller Show, he was a paid performer.
So,
he was able to earn some money. But he was promoters advertised him as the wonderful Pickett, throwing wild steer by nose with his teeth. He toured the country visiting cities like Chicago, New York, and he actually went to Canada, South America, Great Britain, Mexico.
And did the same thing?
Yeah, and that was what he did.
Wow.
But he also worked with some pretty famous Western personalities, cowboys-turned-actors like Tom Mix and Will Rogers, and they actually were his assistants sometimes while he was on the tour. Yeah. Now, Bill Pickett was the most famous black cowboy entertainer in American history. Zach Miller claimed that he was the greatest sweat-and-dirt cowhand that ever lived, bar none. He was a box office draw who never ceased to give crowd-pleasing performances. He was a headliner who packed the house. Sometimes the attendance topped 65,000 that came to watch him.
Zed, no that's kidding.
Pickett's audience-grabbing technique of subduing a steer was copied by some, but no one ever mastered the feat. Many cowboys found the thought of biting into a steer's snotty upper lip a little bit repulsive.
Yeah, kind of.
I would agree with
that. A tad.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in 1907, the Miller Brothers, as you mentioned, the 101 Ranch Wild West Show, was the first rodeo to be held at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Very first.
Wow.
Now, the audience turnout was kind of disappointing opening night, but it was a night to remember. Tom Mix did a riding demonstration, and then it was Pickett's turn to perform with his favorite horse that he called Spradley. Now, Will Rogers was Pickett's hazer, you know, riding parallel with him into the arena. Pickett always rode on the left and Rogers always on the right, sandwiching the steer between them so Bill could easily jump on. However, once out of the chute, something went terribly wrong.
Uh-oh.
The crazed steer was startled by the noise and commotion of the crowd and broke loose. It took off running at top speed across the entire length of the arena with Pickett and Rogers in pursuit. Before the cowboys could catch up with it, the steer barreled over the gate into the grandstand.
Now, this is not good.
Pandemonium ran wild.
I would say.
Terrified fans, panic, screamed, scattered in every direction.
Free popcorn.
Yeah. So, Pickett's horse, Bradley, vaulted the gate, carrying Pickett as they rode up the stairs after the runaway bull.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, they're in the audience.
Yeah, they're running
or
up the stairs.
Or what was the audience?
Yes, yeah, they're running up the stairs, okay? Right there in the stands, Pickett jumped off his horse onto the steer and bulldogged it on the spot with his lip-locking bite.
Holy, on the steps, literally. Yeah.
So Will Rogers caught up, and together with some of the other cowboys, they subdued the steer. They roped it, tied its legs before Bill could let it go. The steer was dragged safely back down into the arena, remarkably without any loss of life from the bystanders. The publicity from this event that first night drew in fans for sellout shows for an extremely successful run at Madison Square Garden.
Holy cow.
Can you just picture that, Zip?
I can, because I was announcing a rodeo, and Bull got up in the stands.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
And it was interesting, to say the least.
<I'll bet. laughs> Well, he moved with his wife, Maggie, and their 9 children from Texas to Oklahoma. And over the years, Pickett earned a steady income, but it came at a price. By the end of his career, almost every bone in his body had been broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, like I say, he did a lot of other stuff, you know, bronc riding, breaking horses, stuff. But the Miller Brothers Wild West Show continued to travel across the United States and to various countries. Pickett even performed before King George V and Queen Mary of England in London. Now, Bill Pickett became Hollywood's first black movie star. The silent movie called The Bulldogger, starring Pickett in 1921, and the movie poster read, quote, "Bill Pickett, world's colored champion in The Bulldogger, death defying defeats of courage and skill, 5 smashing reels of thrills and laughs, too." That was his movie. He also starred in one called The Crimson Skull. However,
that must have been an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. Well, Pickett found fame and fortune as a bulldogger, not as a movie star.
I see.
And he only made those 2 movies.
Now, these were silents, weren't they?
Yeah, they would have been.
Silent movies?
Yeah, clear back in 1921.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Bill eventually retired from the rodeo in the late 1920s. Now, you're not going to be surprised at this, Zeb, but he'd lost several teeth in the process of bulldogging over 5,000.
Imagine that.
Bulldogging over 5,000 steers in his career.
5,000.
Now, this consequently made it difficult to bite into a steer's lip and hold its grip. I mean, you can't do that with your gums, right?
Well, you would know more than me.
No, wait a minute. With no teeth, it would make it, or less teeth, it would make it a little more difficult. Anyway, you know, while Bill was getting horses ready for sale, a freak accident occurred. He was separating the horses in the pen when a sorrel gave him some trouble. Pickett dismounted to rope the horse when another horse stepped on his rope. Well, it flipped Bill 15 feet in the air. He landed near the sorrel, which reared up and in the confusion came down.
Oh, boy.
Kicked Bill in the head with his left hind foot. Pickett stood up, collapsed, and never regained consciousness.
Really?
He died almost 2 weeks after the accident on April 2nd, 1932, at the age of 62.
Wow.
Now, Pickett was good friends with Will Rogers, and here's what Rogers said about him. He said, "Bill Pickett never had an enemy. Even the steers wouldn't hurt old Bill."
What happened to his brother, though?
Pickett's brothers?
Yeah, remember they were in business together?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with all that.
I see.
They continued the business.
I see.
But there's a poem that was written about him. It said, "Like many men in the old-time West, on any job, he did his best. He left a blank that's hard to fill, for there'll never be another Bill."
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
I like that.
But Bill Pickett contributed greatly to rodeo entertainment. He embodied the spirit of honest competition. In 1971, Pickett was the first black cowboy to be inducted into Oklahoma City's Rodeo Hall of Fame, where his saddle is on display. In 1987, a bronze statue of Pickett was erected in the Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas. In 1989, he was inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. Now, 10 years later, in 1994, the United States Post Office attempted to honor Bill Pickett in their, quote, "Legends of the West 29-cent stamp series." But they accidentally depicted a relative, Ben Pickett, instead of Bill.
No.
However, the corrected image of Bill Pickett was issued in 1994. So,
really?
Yeah.
Now, the stamp that was made, help me, do you have a picture of it?
I do not.
Because the one I'm thinking of, he had a pair of those woolly chaps on.
Oh.
And great big old hat, tipped back a little bit, and I think that's the stamp that I've seen.
It could be,
yeah. The picture, yeah.
The picture. But it was said of him, it said, quote, "When they turned Bill Pickett out, they broke the mold."
There you go.
What an amazing man, you know. And
no, did he have a family?
Yeah, he had his 9 children. And in later years, the 2 boys passed away for whatever reason, I'm not sure. But his 7 daughters took care of him. They were attentive. They cared for him when he actually was blinded for 9 months at one time.
Wow.
But his wife, Maggie, died after 40 years of marriage.
See, now, this is a story that you and I need to pursue to see if we can't get a hold of one of the siblings to come on the program.
You know, and they've got to be... You know, still alive.
I would think some of them are.
The daughters would still be alive. Well, yeah. Maybe. But the
children. The grandkids would be.
Sure. Yeah. But that pretty an amazing man. And again, you know, I think he really epitomized the cowboy. You know, the honest, humble, just did the work that needed to be done and was one of the best ranch hands that there ever was.
That's one of the things that I think we need to follow up on. We had this idea about maybe last year sometime of trying to get a hold of relatives to solidify and verify a lot of the stories. Well, in this case, I don't think it'd be that hard to try to find if there's a grandson or a granddaughter or someone that would want to come on the air.
That's what I was going to say. If we get him on here to have a little a little interview or something, that would be wonderful.
That would be fun.
So I'll do some checking. I'm not quite sure where to look, or if any of the listeners out there have any ideas on how to contact some of these people, that would be wonderful.
Or for that matter, any of the stories that we've had on this Doctor History segment, if people know maybe a family member or whatever that we could contact regarding the story, that would be really interesting.
It would be wonderful. So,
you know, you talked about this with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Right. I got his great nephew's book that he wrote about it.
Yeah. And you met with him over at Bear River, I believe.
No, I was down at St. George.
That's it.
And I ran into a man who knew Butch Cassidy.
Yeah.
But over in Montpelier, Idaho, is where that bank is that Butch Cassidy robbed.
I see.
And it's been turned into a Butch Cassidy museum.
Oh.
And that's where I was able to find this book.
I see.
About Butch Cassidy.
That was a good story. We got to do that, though, as a follow-up.
That would be a good project. I'll see what I can find out.
It's good to see you again.
Good to be seen, and good to have you back in the country.
It's good to be back. However, the warmer climes were very nice.
Oh, I agree. I was in St. George for a week.
Yes.
5 days of sunshine was not too bad.
There you go. Dr. History, every Tuesday right here at 10:06 on 7th Ranch. Next week, I'm sure you've got it already pre-planned as to what you're going to do.
But I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, I can imagine. In other words, that's the key phrase of I haven't got a clue.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.